And while Jesse is still curating some great Betty-themed nicknames for his fantasy football team.
Betty and the Jets, clubhouse leader.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Too bad you don't have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. We'll get to some more of those, but I really want to get to this exchange that Goody and I had yesterday because, and I had one with LaFleur, too.
Hey, Jason, Jesse, sure. Where did Jordan Love go in the fantasy draft?
Good question.
I saw him select, I think Strofe picked him up in the ESPN Madison League, so he went early. He went earlier than anticipated. Like, that's the thing with Packers fans, though, when you're in a fantasy football draft like this, people are going to overvalue Romeo Doubs, Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon. Like, those guys are all going to go because we know them and, like, we feel like we want to cheer for them. So I think he ended up going in.
I don't know.
It's a 16
last year,
team.
I told you.
Sorry, go ahead.
I told you last year in our fantasy team draft, the Packers went in the third round, which is unheard of. And by the way, we overdrafted him.
Overdrafted. That's what I'm saying. I think Jordan Love ended up going in like round 8 of a 16-team league.
So Rodgers is going ahead of Jordan Love in most fantasy drafts, correct?
Yeah, easily, right?
I don't know. That's why I asked. I'm not doing fantasy outside of team.
In the two that I've been a part of, Aaron Rodgers has gone before Jordan Love, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
But this is me basing things on my life experience again.
I was just about to say, also, I don't know anyone who's been sprayed by a skunk.
That's actually I'm interested in. I'm not interested in how many of your friends were licked by a toad and ended up getting some type of stuff. So, no.
I beg your pardon?
Are toads poisonous? No. My buddies get licked by toads all the time, and they don't have any issues.
Okay. All right. I don't think the toads are the ones doing the licking of the humans, though, right? Like, this is where, like,
the toad licks you.
Depends how close you get to the toad. I don't know. It depends on what you do with the toad.
Oh, my God. Can we get
toads typically have some type of poisonous, like,
they do.
Some certain
yes.
toads have issues.
Yeah, they do. Stella got too close to one, and she was having a little bit of an allergic reaction to him. Yes, that 100% true. That I can confirm through my own life experiences.
There you go.
We'll get to where Aaron Rodgers is being drafted in various fantasy leagues a little bit later. I want to get to this young team that we keep talking about. I brought up your favorite answer from Goody, the one that you wanted to be placed on a hotkey on Jesse's
board. Is it on that hotkey yet?
No,
or not?
Of course. Are you kidding me? Okay. He was busy with his fantasy draft and learning his hymn for Aunt Betty's funeral. Okay. So I brought it back up to Goody yesterday. Here is how Goody responded to this young roster that he's built.
When you started this as a GM, you didn't have a 16-player practice squad, and you didn't have the flexibility that you have with it now. How is your philosophy in terms of the types of players you want on it?
Hang on, this is the wrong
That's
one.
That's not the right audio.
I was skeptical. Hang on a second. Hang on.
Is it Wednesday? Must be Wednesday.
Aunt Betty is so disappointed in
here
you
we
right
go.
Now.
I got the right one now. Here we go. Here we go.
You had that great answer a couple weeks ago about how we're here to win championships.
Well, that's a great answer.
Some games, and you have to give guys room to grow, to get better. So now that we kind of have your initial roster and we see how young it is, especially on offense, I'm wondering, what's realistic to expect from this team? You've built Super Bowl caliber teams before. They don't usually have an average age under 25. I'm wondering, what are your realistic expectations? Because obviously you want to win as many games as you can, but you also need to be realistic with the level of youth you have.
Yeah, I don't, you know, sometimes youth can be a benefit, you know? I mean, it's a young man's game, and you need the legs, you need the speed. Certainly there's an experience factor these guys are going to have to go through. So for me, the expectation is to go out and try to win every game that we play. You're not going to win them all. I mean, in my lifetime, nobody has, right? So, but at the same time, you got to learn and grow from every situation, whether we win, whether we lose, the ups and downs. You have to learn and grow from that and continue to get better. You know, the teams that have a chance to win a championship are the teams that are getting better each week and really kind of towards that end of the season and are at their best, you know? So that's what I expect. That's my expectations. And hopefully that will lead us to accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish. But, yeah, I know that there's been a lot of talk about the youth and all that, but it's like, that's no excuse. I mean, these guys were brought in for us to be better than we were last year. And they were all brought here for a reason. So now they got to come together as a team, and they got to do that. And that takes a lot of time and effort. And certainly guys who have more experience are more used to that. But the expectations don't change.
So the expectation is to be better than last year's team.
Better than last year. That's it. That's why this is all going on.
So then is it a failure if they're 7-10 or 6-11? Because I don't think it is.
It's not. And I think Goody is answering the question honestly. And I firmly believe he believes in his guys.
He
put all
no
this
doubt.
Time and effort into bringing him in. So he believes it, but he also knows. He knows that experience does matter and it's important, and you know, trying to figure out how to come together as a football team. But you know, he said a couple of things there that I thought were interesting. In the young man's game, that has always been, I think, general managers always want that until you get to that point where you really feel like, all right, now if we can find one or two guys like Goody did in 20 and 21, brought in a couple of the older guys to kind of solidify some spots. And now you're resetting completely, and it's new to most of us. But he's right. You do need speed. You need athleticism. And I don't know if it was a different question from Goody's presser yesterday, but basically they need to get more athletic and faster.
Right.
Mission accomplished. I don't think anybody can argue that. Are you better? I don't think you're going to be better short term, but it's a long season. And I think Goody's plan is – figure out a way to steal some games early, continue to grow through coaching and everything else. You're going to get more and more confident. And, hey, catch a hot streak, and you never know. You get in these playoffs, crazy stuff happens. We all have seen that. That's, I think, his goal. I think he'll be really disappointed if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
So you think he believes he has a playoff team?
I think he believes that this roster is good enough while it's growing that they can get enough wins and play well enough at the end of the season. You know, coaches look at this, and every coach I've ever heard talk has said, we better not be the same football team we are in August that we are in December. Mike McCarthy pounded that point home. And you know what his record in December was?
Right.
Pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
So you build and get to a certain point, and you're playing your best ball. Now, if you fall behind the eight ball and you're, you know, 3-10 or 3-11, you can't do it. But you look at the schedule, you understand where you're at, and you have a lot more belief than the outside of the world does. You can get 5-6 wins, and you start getting after Thanksgiving. You get to 9-10 wins in this expanded playoff system. Yeah, I believe that Goody actually believes. I don't think it's coach speak or GM speak. I think he believes that the NFC is weaker. I think he believes that this team is better than we think. And I think he thinks by December, this is going to be a really good football team. I don't think he thinks it's going to be a great team right away. I think he realizes the limitations, but he's hoping that this defense and better special teams will help along with the running game to keep games close. You steal some, and then we keep getting better. Dobbs gets better. Reed gets better. Wicks gets better. Christian Watson is the guy. And Jordan Love continues to get more and more comfortable. He thinks we'll get good enough, and then we will be a really good football team. So either we make the playoffs, and who knows, or we feel like we did in Mike Sherman's first year when we finished up and thought, yeah, we got something. We're going to keep rolling, and we're going to be much better in 2001, and they're going to be saying we're going to be much better in 2024 because of how this year finished.
All right, I believe in the second half of that. Do you, yes or no, not hedge, not anything else, do you believe Goody will be right and the Green Bay Packers in 2023 will make the playoffs, yes or no? I do not. I do not believe they're making the playoffs. I will be happy to be wrong because it'll be a hell of a story.
Do you believe Goody?
I don't.
Do you believe Goody believes it?
I do, but that's not what I'm asking. I definitely believe he thinks that.
Pull it from your account.
Nope, I don't do that anymore.
Why?
From your account.
You let one guy call you a psychopath and you say, to hell with it, I'm
no,
done.
No, there was the psychopath, there was the effing moron, there was, no, done, thank you, goodbye. No, no. Do you believe the Green Bay Packers will make the playoffs in 2023? Yeah. Yes
Pull
or
it.
No? No hedge.
Pull it from your account. Yeah, I think that, so no, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I do not.
Okay. But do you believe Goody believes that?
I do.
I do too. All right. Well,
firmly
that's great
believe.
When we're in alignment. All right. I want to get to how Matt
is LaFleur. Eight wins. Here's the question. Is eight wins going to be good enough? I don't know the answer.
I think it might be, but I don't think that I might go up to seven. I do not think because the other thing that concerns me is that when you have a team this young and you have a dearth of proven commodities, it means your depth isn't great. If you notice, nobody was claiming anybody that the Packers released. Nobody.
Correct.
And what that tells me, in part, in addition to what I watched, is that not only do they have young frontline players, but they have even less proven backups. I like their offensive line depth. Beyond that, we know that offensive lines do not have all five starters start all 17 games. That does not happen.
Yeah, I think Green Bay's in a pretty good spot there.
I agree. But I think, in general, I think their depth is going to be a problem, and if they have injury issues, they're going to be in real trouble.
Here's what I'm going to do, because you asked me that question, and I do believe there's going to be struggle city in the beginning of the season. I think they will get better.
I agree.
I'm putting it all on week one. I'm answering
what?
Your question. No, hear me out. I'm answering your question based off of week one.
That's Wait, so now you're deferring, like you're deferring
to the
second half?
No, there, I'm not hedging. I'm saying if Green Bay beats Chicago week one, they're making the playoffs. If they don't, they're not. That's cool. What I'm saying.
Sound graph! Sound graph! All right, we'll see.
It's a... I would normally not say that, but I firmly believe getting off to a good start and gaining confidence, it's more important. It's always critical in a locker room. It's even more critical when you have an unproven quarterback that you don't have complete buy-in. As much as you hear it, guys don't know yet is Jordan Love. They all believe it, but they don't know it. It hasn't been verified. You go down and beat Chicago down there, and especially if you do something late, and score and get points, I'm telling you, that is a that accelerates the process. They beat Chicago. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
All right. Well, we'll find out in 11 days if that turns out
Jesse,
to be the case.
What's your answer on this poll that Jason's going to pull?
I believe the Green Bay Packers will make the playoffs this season. Yeah. The reason I believe it is because it's because the NFC is weak, and it has more to do with the state of the other teams around them than it does about them. And I think a lot of teams like the Vikings are viewing this season that way, where this can be a rebuild, retool, recombobulate on the fly, and still make the playoffs and find success and appease everybody then, because then your GM and your head coach, if you want to get younger and retool, you can do that, but you can also be good enough to compete and get a chance in the dance at the end of the year. I think that's possible for a lot of NFC teams, and I think the
chance
Packers are one
the
of them
dance.
Because of the favorable schedule early on.
I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right, because it's a hell of a story if you're right. I'm just a skeptic, and I don't need game one to decide that for me. I'm going to be a skeptic, and if I'm wrong, I will be more than happy to be wrong. It'll be awesome if I'm wrong. All right, I want to play what Matt LaFleur said, because I would be curious to know if his answer influences you at all as well, because his was not quite so, I don't want to say it wasn't optimistic, but it was definitely hedgier and definitely more realistic in terms of the challenges that he knows he's going to be facing with this team. We'll get to that coming up. You hear the slogan all the time. One call, that's all. David Gruber and his team, you hear it. But what does it really mean? Well, it means that they focus on the legal aspect while their clients are able to focus on healing. So just one call and they handle the rest. They will provide the best care, service, and representation. That is their priority, and there is no fee. There is no cost to call, get a consultation, or to retain their firm. There's never a fee in your case until you win it. And you know you're going to win with a great team like them. They are one of the largest personal injury firms in the Midwest, but they're still family-owned and operated, so they've got both that hometown feel and they've got the large, powerful team with the resources they need to get you taken care of. So check out Gruber-Law.com. That's Gruber-Law.com to find out more about their firm and everything that Gruber Law Offices does in our community. Or just give them a call, 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We'll get to Matt LaFleur and what he had to say about this young team next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On air, online, and on demand. Get all your favorite ESPN Wisconsin content anywhere you get your podcasts for free. The new Wisconsin On Demand. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Remember I talked about during camp, they had 91 players on their roster, and 56 of them were either rookies or 1 year of NFL experience or less. As the roster stands now, because officially Matt Orzech, their long snapper, is not yet on the roster. That'll become official today. They have 26 rookies and first-year players out of 53. 27 out of 53. So, more than half. That's a lot. That's how young they are. So I asked Matt LaFleur about how that might alter his coaching. Here is that exchange yesterday.
Matt, it is your job, though, to figure out the best way to make them successful, obviously. So as a coach, when you are this young, especially on the offensive side of the ball, do you have to coach differently? Are there different ways that you have to kind of tweak your coaching style to fit the young group that you have?
Well, I think everything about coaching is just learning your players and how do they best respond. And some guys will respond to a foot up their ass, and some guys are going to need, you know, to put an arm around them. And just that's just the way it is. That's the way players are, and it's our responsibility to try to learn these guys and also learn what they do best and try to and showcase that by the positions that we put them in. And are we going to have to scale back sometimes? Maybe. I don't know. We're kind of getting into that whole game plan process right now, and we'll kind of just – you just got to be open-minded to me and throughout the course of the season, knowing that you're going to evolve. And it's always the fine line of just, you know, what's too much for, I think, any team that you're on, whether you're old or young. And, again, just trying to put these guys in the best position possible.
So now, Jesse also has another clip that, Jesse, let me know when it's ready, but he actually talks about how you can't focus on the results and the outcome, which I thought was interesting. Here is another part of him discussing what he's up against as a coach this year.
I think you just take each moment in stride and try to continue to learn and grow no matter what the outcome, and you can't get totally focused on the outcome. You got to be... I'm a process-driven guy anyways, and I think our coaches and players are as well. And so you just take everything in stride and try not to, you know, I never want to put a label on this group or box us in a corner and say what we can and cannot do. I mean, we're going to keep pushing them and push them as far as they can go.
All right, so can't necessarily focus on the outcome. I agree with him.
A lot there.
I absolutely agree with him on process. Totally agree. Love it.
Okay, hold up a second, because we all hear that, and it's such a buzzword. So what if your process sucks?
Yeah, that's why you have to focus on the process. Make sure it doesn't suck.
No,
and then
but
the results
you're saying
follow.
I'm not going to play the results? No, hold up. So I believe in this whole process-driven, and you're going to do what you need to do, but it's like losing weight. Oh, I have my process. Well, you don't lose any weight. Well, maybe your process sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a different process.
Agreed.
So I don't understand this whole the idea that there's not going to be the results and everything else. You shouldn't just play the results. That's what the media does.
Yeah.
As a coach
Hate
and as
that.
Players, you don't. But let's not act and sit here and say, oh, I'm sticking with my process. I'm going to do this. There's a lot of times you're not doing the right process. Okay? So all of this process-driven and all this other stuff, he doesn't know what process is going to work with this team. He doesn't know this team yet.
Right. So his focus is on figuring out the process. That's what he's saying, Tom.
Oh, now you're figuring out the process? Or you have your process and you're going
to
stick with your process?
Well, no, he's going to have to tweak his process to fit these young guys. He says in there about scaling back potentially because how much volume can they handle, right? That's part of the process, isn't it?
I'm so sick of people saying, oh, it's a process. I'm doing this process. Sometimes you don't have enough time to let your process evolve, or sometimes your process sucks.
Right, and it's his job to figure out the process that's going to work for this team.
It is his job to figure it out, but it's his job to win games. And what I don't want to have happen is, well, you know what? We're not winning games because we're still trying to figure out our process. We don't know what our process is. Well, our process will work. Okay, what's beautiful about sports is there's a scoreboard. And I don't care if you don't play the results. At some point, your process is judged. It's not judged just by Soldier Field or Lambeau Field. But there comes a point where it's like, boy, our process, we're doing great things. Hugh Jackson, you're 1-31. No, your process sucks, and your results suck, and you're out of a job. So there's a fine line of saying, well, this is my process, or this is my process. And for anyone to just tell you, I get a little, I don't want to say squeamish.
I can tell you're
bothered by this. But I get a little
bit
when you say, I'm not going to worry about the results. I'm going to just worry about the process. That typically, Nick Saban says this. There's a lot of people that say this. But your process has to start showing you results or yielding results. Or you know what most people do? They change processes. And then do you actually trust the process? No, you don't.
Right.
You trust that I'm changing process.
I think he has to figure out the process that works for this team because it's so vastly different than the first four teams he coached. So he has to believe in certain core tenets of his process, but he has to figure out what's going to allow a Jaden Reed or a Malik Heath or a Tucker Kraft to be effective so we can get results at some point as opposed to, like, I don't know about you. I think he's going to spend the first quarter of the season trying to figure out exactly what puts these guys in the best position to succeed. And what I think what he's saying is that the results may not be what they want because they're still trying to figure out the best process for this many children on his team. I think that's what that is translated.
Okay,
and he's
first
saying,
off, let's slow our roll with this children.
I like saying it,
children.
Though. Child care, yes.
You could say it.
Yes, kindergarten class.
I'm
just
being honest. It's really dumb. It's not kindergarten class. It's not.
Dumb is strong.
It's not.
Yeah,
no,
obviously don't think they're six-year-olds.
What do you define as a child? What's a child?
I'm sorry. They're all grown men that are very inexperienced in the National Football League.
Oh. All right.
Because I was being literal, of course. As...
You're Mr. Literal, don't get me started on that.
Okay, all right. Just because you don't like to trust
Jason,
the process.
The only reason that bothers me is because, listen, I think we all understand that there is a process to get to where you're going. But to try and say anything of the nature that it's not about results is misleading, because it is. And results can be different. You don't have to... Results can be, well, I'm 13-4. Hey, pretty good result. You could also say, well, you know what? 8-9, my process was good. My results, I can live with this because my process was good. But to try and act as if there's not some type of scoreboard or the results, you're only judged. Nobody is judging your process. Okay, they're just not. Well, I went through my draft process, and I felt like Eugene McCaslin was going to be my next stud linebacker. Or I felt like Tony Mandrich was going to be my great offensive tackle. That was my process. Were you right? You weren't.
All right. You don't like the process. Thank you. You made yourself clear.
I do like the process. What I don't like is going back. That is a crutch. I believe that's a crutch.
We both just said we don't think they're making the playoffs. And well, we
said
also
it.
Said
if they beat the
that,
Bears, they will.
Okay. All right, you've become very fun today.
Do you not understand? Do you understand?
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying to you is, you can't if you're going to sit here and say you don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and then you changed it to whether they win or lose on September 10th, and you're going to say that you're like your 2001 team, right, or your 2007 team were set up by two teams that didn't make the playoffs but finished strong. If his process doesn't yield winning early in the season, but that process continues and they're pretty damn good at the end of the year, but they don't make the playoffs, his statement is absolutely true, man.
Yeah.
Because the process will have led them into 2024.
That's not what I'm saying, though. I'm saying I'm fine with if that's how you're going about it. I don't want you. You're not judged on your process. You're judged by your results. That's all I'm saying.
Are you going to judge
your
them
process,
early in the season?
I
are you
am
going
not.
To judge on their results? I, then you're judging. Then
we
you're gonna.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Are we as a show going to judge them on the results early in the season? The answer is yes.
I'm not.
We are.
I'm not.
Okay. Jason, I can't wait
I think
to read
go
your
6
articles
and
listen to you on this show.
What do you mean?
I know. It, you're going to be – I just can't wait for you not to react and to just be like, this is all part of the process, guys.
I will definitely –
they got beat
I
by Chicago.
I guarantee you I'm going to say that. I can guarantee you I'm going to say that's part of the process. Now,
I can't wait because when you do, when
hey,
you make a blasphemous
pants.
Statement – nobody's grumpy.
Listen,
I'm not grumpy.
But here's the thing: you're the point that you're arguing, which is thrown off the clock considerably, is I don't understand it because I'm not going to hold them to the same standard that I would have held the 2021 Packers to when they were built to win right away, and we knew that they were a Super Bowl contender. So I'm not going to hold them to the same standard early in the season than if they crap them, like we crushed them when they wet the bed. In each of their openers the last 2 years, because that's not what they were
and
this
now,
year.
Yeah, if Justin Fields runs for 270 and they beat us 31-6, you're not going to crush him because it's part of the process. That's what you're telling me.
Not the way I crushed last year's team. Not the way I crushed the 21 team for getting blown out in their opener by the Saints. No,
you understand why because here's the deal. I don't believe you might be the one exception.
Thank
because
you.
I can assure you, I can assure you, Packer fans are not
you
going to just
there.
Sit back and say, well, they lost 31-6.
You
yeah, but don't
there.
Worry about it because the process is good.
You got
we're going to be fine.
Yeah, great to have you.
Maybe.
Thank you. You got
and
there.
And if they're 0-3, if they're 0-3, because, Jason, I know how this goes. You'll say that now, but you will be critical and you will ask questions. If they're 0-3 and they've lost 3 games in a row, you're telling me you're going to say, boy, you know, Matt, I really think your process is working and you're getting
better and better,
even though you're getting your butt. That's what you're trying to tell me.
It's not.
I don't buy that for a minute.
I
don't.
All right. I need you to tell me about Fortrea and their process of clinical trials, and then I'll try and explain myself further after you do that.
All right. Even though their name has changed, they remain committed to bringing you the same great experience, professionalism, and new opportunities and process under the new Fortrea name. Same great people, same great location for over 40 years in business. Got a new website. It's FortreaClinicalTrials.com. It's Fortrea ClinicalTrials.com. And if you're looking for a little extra spending cash, you want to take a vacation, you want to work on your process, Fortrea's got you covered. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60 with a BMI of 18 to 32. Study involves 2 stays of 15 nights, 7 follow-up visits, and you can make yourself $13,820 for your time and participation. Again, go to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, Fortrea, ClinicalTrials.com.
All right, we'll continue to debate this process
business. Sick of saying the word process.
I don't think you were, because you managed to inject it into your Fortrea read like 6 times. So well done.
Hey, guys, we're 0-5, and we've only scored 10 points, but I think this process is good. So don't worry about it. Jason Wilde's article, that's his headline on the State Journal. Don't worry about the pack. The process is good.
Whoa, Nelly!
You're going to need the Academy to help you with that headline. I would like to explain, if the Packers start 0-3, what my question will be. I will tell you what that is, and we'll see how that goes. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Say the Packers start 0-3. What is my question going to be for Matt LaFleur? Matt, before the season you said you have to be focused on the process, not the results. But when you have results like these with this young team, at some point you have to reevaluate your process and figure out if there's something wrong with it. That's what I'm asking them, if they're 0-3.
It's a good question.
Yeah, Tausch, to your point, and what we went back and forth on is, yeah, you're right. When you say I'm process-based, it means, yes, that you believe in the process you have. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to add or subtract from the process that you have to get better results.
And my point is, most successful people that say I'm process-driven, their process has worked, right?
Right, and Matt LaFleur's has too, in fairness
to
him.
To a certain extent, yes.
But now there's no Hall of Fame quarterback running his process.
Exactly. So now we'll see, you know,
so how
his process stacks up. Is it a better process? It could very well be a better process than what it was. But this idea that, let me make sure I'm being crystal clear. Matt LaFleur understands the NFL and understands winning is what is required. All of the other stuff is great. Process, blah, blah, blah. But winning, and is that process leading you to victories?
Mm-hmm.
Is it leading you to play your best football? Sometimes you get beat. Is it giving you a chance to be as consistent of a football team that you can win as many games as you can? That's it.
Right.
And if that's the case, great. But my point is, if I'm Jimmy Haslam and Hugh Jackson's coaching my football team and he comes up and I'm 0-16 and he says, well, man, our process was really good, I'm thinking you're crazy.
Correct.
That's all. That is my only point that I was having a hard time. And by the way, you're still I know you're going to disagree with me on this. I don't envision if this team struggles and is 1-6. I don't feel like you're going to be don't worry about it, boys. You're not going to be telling your listeners and fans that it's no big deal. I just don't believe that.
If they are 1-6, then their process and their quarterback are not working. And then we have entirely different discussions that we're going to be having. Now, I would add this to this conversation that I want to keep going with. How will we know what exactly the issue is if somehow they are 1-6? And remember, what were the Lions last year? Were they like 1-7 or something like that? And then they won 8 of their last 9 or something ridiculous? I want to fact check that because this...
I wonder if Dan Campbell changed his process.
We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
The Detroit Lions began last season 1-6. Literally with the record that we just used as an example, for how we're going to look at the Packers if they're 1-6. And then they won 8 of their last 10 to finish 9-8. Now, my question
I'm sure Tommy from the Detroit Free Press was just sitting there saying, you know what, guys, it's 1-6, but I bet just trust this process. They're going to be just fine.
That's Dave.
Tommy did that?
Dave Burkett. Doesn't matter what Tommy or Dave or Jason or Domofsky, doesn't matter, because the real courage of conviction is being 1-6 and saying, no, this sucks, but I still believe in this process. Now, I don't cover the Lions, so I don't know what Dan Campbell did at 1-6. Did he continue to trust the process, or did he make changes to the process so they could go 8-2 over their last 10 and finish 9-8? Now everybody and their brother thinks they're going to be a contender in the NFC, except us. So I don't know what happened. But my point is that if you are truly trusting the process, the challenge arrives when you suck. And you're continually saying to yourself, no, I believe in this process. Guess what? You could believe in your process all the way to a 2-15 record and getting fired. So you're right. It's not that I don't agree with what you're saying. Look, if we're being honest, this is what teams that don't think they're going to win a lot of games are going to say. You don't hear teams that are going to go 13-4 saying, well, I trust our process and the outcome will follow. Yeah, maybe occasionally you hear that, but that ain't what you're hearing from a team with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback.
You hear Andy Reid and you hear these coaches say, I trust my process that will get us to where we want to go. Huh? That's what you hear.
Eric called in, then texted in, because he had bad reception. So thank you for your lack of service, Eric, from your cell phone carrier. Thanks.
Pretty good.
Was thinking along the same lines I was. I lived out in Michigan for the past 3 years, and I can tell you that Lions fans have been happy with the process that Dan Campbell has started with the Lions. They went 3-13-1 in year one, but they were losing differently. 9-8 last year included delivering a knockout punch at Lambeau, even when their season was already over. That's 1,000% true. The team is getting better, and they started to develop a core nucleus to build around. That's Eric in Green Bay. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Eric, here's the difference. Detroit Lions fans have how many wins since JFK was blown away?
I believe we established that was...
He went back to it.
One or two,
one,
maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, playoff so wins. They won more regular season games than that.
But, is it possible
they're
that...
They're not old for the post-JFK blown-away era. Yes, that's true.
What I'm intrigued by is, Eric brings up a good point, and Detroit stunk for a long time.
Indeed they did.
They had become calloused to losing. Green Bay Packer fans don't have that.
No, they do not.
How accepting of a slow start, if that happens, will Packer fans be? I don't think they're going to be as patient as maybe Jason thinks. That's all. That's my point on this whole, put a bow on it and get to the 11 o'clock hour. That's what I think.
Big bow guy.
And whether or not we'll see if that happens, the odds are it's going to be a, there's going to be ups and downs, and this team will win some games, they'll lose some games.
Sure.
I don't see them getting off to that slow of a start, especially with the schedule that they have. But if they do, are there going to be people like Eric that just said, well, Detroit, we felt this way? Green Bay's had a heck of a lot more than one playoff win since JFK. Detroit hasn't. So Detroit's fans are really happy when you go 9-8, and there's belief.
Mm-hmm.
How'd Green Bay Packer fans feel with 8-9 last year?
Not great.
Get out of here, QB. We're going as young as we possibly can. To hell with Rodgers. Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. So maybe you're correct. Maybe I'm misreading and saying, you know what? People are going to be just fine with a team that really struggles and doesn't score a ton of points and loses a lot of games. But our Packer fans are going to say, yeah, but I really, we can't win a game, but boy, I love this process. Maybe you'll be right on that.
If all right,
I want to start the 11 o'clock hour with one last question on this. I know you were your process of putting
kind
a bow
of,
on
I bowed
it.
Up. Yeah, I thought I bowed it, but
I'm not going to allow it. I want to start the 11 o'clock hour with one last question about this, because I love that you drew that comparison between the feeling of Lions fans, JFK blown away, what else do you have to say, and Packers fans. But I want to ask something about what happened last season and apply it to the 2023 Green Bay Packers. Speaking of the 2023 Green Bay Packers, every time I walk by the Tundra Trio, I see the Tito's sign. And I know that they've got a great giveaway going on. They've got all kinds of stuff up their alley for a season where they trust their muddling process, their infusion process, whatever process it is, just make sure it includes Tito's.
Oh, we had the transfusions out at Nakoma on Monday. It's always Tito's. Take it to the house this season and enjoy tailgating from your own backyard. Tito's wants to make sure you have the best tailgate on the block. You can win game day gear for your next gathering by entering to win at titostailgate.com. Be sure to enter by November 15th for your chance to win a Solo Stove Grill, a Brewmate back tap for those batched cocktails, or a Tito's football jersey. For official rules, visit titostailgate.com. That's titostailgate.com. Must be 21 to enter. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
The 11 o'clock hour kicks off with me untying Tausch's bow briefly to finish our conversation. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.